machine. Stop telling yourself to run back to me, cause we both know this a nightmare, not a dream.
I know you gon' disappear, cause even though you say you're in your own insincere.
All this time you probably didn't want me, like Lauren and the Fugees, you be killing softly. So many times you tell me that you're really sorry, but all I really hear is that you're wishy-washy, whoa.
Wishy-washy, whoa. Wishy-washy, whoa. Wishy-washy, whoa. Please make up your mind, whoa. Baby, can you make up your mind? Your mind, your mind.
Me no want you for calm, me no want you for think me I got answer at all. Every time you say you I got come back, you left me with a negative impact. From me a walking trophy, me a back.
Hello, welcome. This is Marco. You're listening to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9. And, of course, I'm late, as always. I'm sorry. The buses are not cooperating with me. So, how's everybody today in the world of astronomy? Something happened recently that got astronomers very excited. And I forgot what it was, but there's another thing that happened. There was a transit of Mercury in front of the sun. So it's pretty exciting for astronomers when that happens. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. And we're going to talk about a lot of other things in astronomy. So what am I going to start with? Well, let's see. I've been going to livescience.com for a while, and then going to go back to NASA. So Live Science, I think it's a great website. It's got all kinds of things. And you know what I might do today? I might alternate between Live Science and NASA. And what happens with NASA, of course, they cover a lot of stories that NASA covers. And they're not as thrilling, maybe. And they're not as, maybe, or they're more real than NASA ones. Sometimes the ones on the other websites are kind of get your interest up, but they're not sometimes realistic. I don't know if I said that the right way. So anyway, today I'm going to start with New Horizons, Far, Far Away in the Sky. So what is New Horizons? It's a NASA mission that is way out there somewhere now. And there's a few NASA missions that are covering the planets, but this one, New Horizons, is going to rendezvous with the asteroid or comet way out in the Kuiper Belt. And there's also the Bennu mission, which I am studying to be an ambassador of, but I'm too busy. I have not been able to. I sat down last week to try to write it, and I was so exhausted. So actually, I said something not so nice about the Life Science, so I'm going to start there. There's more exciting stories, so here's an example. Star ejected from Milky Way's heart of darkness reaches mind-blowing speed. The Milky Way's heart of darkness. Now that's exciting. And mind-blowing speed is exciting. So let's read about it. It's on livescience.com. It's 6 hours ago, which is today, which is the 14th of November. And it is by a writer, Chelsea God, G-O-H-D. So let's read about it. It says, star ejected from Milky Way's heart of darkness reaches mind-blowing speed. As humankind's ancestors were learning to walk upright, a star was launched out of the supermassive black hole at the center of our galaxy at a staggering 3.7 million miles per hour, or 6 million kilometers per hour. 5 million years ago, after this dramatic ejection, 5 million years after this dramatic ejection, a group of researchers led by Sergei Kaposov of Carnegie Mellon University has spotted the star known as SS-HVS1 in the crane-shaped constellation Grus. I hope I'm saying that right, G-R-U-S. The star was spotted traveling relatively close to Earth, 29,000 light years away, at unprecedented searing speeds, about 10 times faster than most stars, in our galaxy. So it's possible that our own star, the Sun, was ejected, I don't know, in a similar way, but it had its siblings. It was born in a interstellar cloud of gas, and it's all by itself now, so it's possible it was ejected. And this star was also ejected from the center of the Milky Way. So it's a relatively close 29,000 light years away. So says Douglas Boebert, a researcher at the University of Oxford and a co-author on the study. And quote, the velocity of the discovered star is so high that it will inevitably leave the galaxy and never return, end quote. So that's pretty exciting how they can get this information. And here's an artist's impression of the star SSH-HVS1 being ejected by the Milky Way's galaxy's supermassive black hole, Sagittarius A star. So I guess a lot of stars and a lot of star clusters orbit the center of our galaxy, and somehow one of them was ejected. Could have been the combination of certain alignments of certain stars, and the gravity just said, boom, you're gone, and it shot it out. So says, again, Kopasov, and quote, this is super exciting, as we have long suspected that black holes can eject stars with very high velocities. However, we have never heard an unambiguous association of such a fast star with a galactic center, end quote. So we all think that as soon as anything gets relatively close to the black hole, it's doomed. Or the black hole's event horizon, which is the point of no return. So I could be wrong, but that event horizon could be located at the Schwarzschild radius, or Schwarzschild. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. So somehow this star was ejected out of the center of the Milky Way. I'm not sure if it was a combination of the black hole or other stars, or just the black hole itself. The star was discovered with observations from the Anglo-Australian Telescope, a 12.8-foot, 3.9-meter telescope, and the European Space Agency's Gaia satellite. The discovery was made as part of the Southern Stellar Stream Spectroscopic Survey, SS, a collaboration of astronomers from Chile, the US, the UK, and Australia. So I read something a few weeks ago, could have been a month ago, about an event horizon telescope. So apparently they spent $50 million to group together 8 telescopes around the world, and it gave the telescope an effective lens as big as the Earth, so they could take a picture of this black hole. Now we have a picture of a star being ejected by that black hole, and we have so much science going on, so much useful science, and sometimes we can look and say, well, how can we use this information we garnered from the star to have some practical use on Earth? So what I'm trying to get at is I see a lot of missions going on and a lot of research on things like stars that have been shot away, and that's great. If they can do it, that's great. But how come we can't get to Mars? We can't get to the moon? How come it takes so long? It's really like a person like myself, an astronomer, who waits for things like this. Like, this is going to be, when they do send people to the moon or to Mars, this is going to be the most exciting thing for astronomy probably ever. And imagine when President Trump said within, I guess, 4 or 5 years, they're going to have, I think it's the Gateway program to the moon, we're going to have a woman step on the moon for the first time, which is very exciting. And then we're going to have all kinds of research. We might have established a presence on the moon where people live on the moon. And we are a spacefaring race. So if we do all this wonderful science, how come we can't go to Mars? How come it's taking so long? Hope Elon Musk pushes it. So anyway, this story again is star ejected from Milky Way's heart of darkness reaches mind-blowing speed. So it's on livescience.com. The author was Chelsea Goad. And on this page, there is a video, how the Milky Way's black hole ejected the runaway star. And what I love about Live Science, it's so cool, it has my kind of like David Letterman top 10. So it says related top 10 star mysteries of all time. So I guess, you know, I love NASA. I've always loved NASA, but NASA.gov. But then this is top 10 star mysteries of all time. Okay. Here we go. Top 10 star mysteries of all time. Number one, starry, starry night. For many stargazers, the night sky might look like a backdrop of very similar twinkling lights. But actually, the billions of stars that make up the universe are varied and full of tantalizing marvels, from stellar fireworks caused by supernova explosions to invisible black holes. Astronomers are gradually figuring out how stars work and what makes each variety unique. Next one is diamonds in the sky. I'm going to try to guess on this, because some stars, what happens is at the end of their lifetime, they expand all their fuels. And this one, a diamond, I guess it's carbon. So a star that ends its life cell on the as in carbon in its core, carbon, when you squeeze it together, you get a diamond. So let's see if that's what it is. Diamonds in the sky. When a star the mass of our sun uses up its nuclear fuel, it expels most of its outer layers to leave just a very hot core called a white dwarf. Scientists had speculated that the bottom of a white dwarf's 31 miles thick crust was crystallized carbon and oxygen, similar to diamond. And in 2004, they found that a white dwarf near the constellation Centaurus, this is called BPM 37093, was made of crystallized carbon weighing 5 million trillion pounds. In diamond speak, that's 10 billion trillion trillion carats. Yes. That's what I told somebody the other day. There's a lot of diamonds out there in outer space floating around in used up stars. So, yes. Okay, next stellar mystery, stellar corpses. Magnetars are dense neutron stars, a type of stellar corpse with magnetic fields billions of times stronger than any magnet on Earth. They release flashes of X-rays about every 10 seconds with an occasional gamma ray burst. They weren't classified as a distinct star type until 1998, nearly two decades after their telltale light shows were first spotted. In March 1979, nine spacecraft observed a release of radiation equaling the amount of energy the sun lets off in 1,000 years, coming from the location of a supernova remnant called N49. So this is spectacular. I mean, imagine we have the first stellar mystery is a diamond in the sky weighing 5 million trillion trillion pounds or 10 billion trillion trillion carats. Quite amazing. And then we have a magnetar that in 1 second lets off as much energy as 1,000 years coming from the sun. So we have all these amazing, excellent things, but the most amazing, like I think they're amazing, but the most amazing thing, I've said it before, it's us. We're the only life form. We have dogs and cats and people and stuff like that, so that's pretty cool. Now look at stellar rumbles. A star quake is thought to be the tearing apart of the surface of a neutron star, much like an earthquake here on Earth. In 1999, astronomers have identified these bursts as a cause of gamma rays and X-rays coming from a neutron star. Predicting these powerful bursts has remained a mystery. Recently, John Middleditch of Los Alamos Laboratory and his team found that a particular type of spinning neutron star called a pulsar, the time to the next quake is proportional to the size of the last quake. So again, imagine the amazing amounts of energies that are released in these processes. It's really quite mind-boggling, but again, the most mind-boggling thing is us. So what's the next stellar mystery? Oh, it had to be here. It's superstars. So let's see what a superstar is. A new class of stars called rotating radio transits, RRATSs, can be fickle flashers. They are massively compressed neutron stars that intermittently send out bursts of radio waves that can last for as few as 2 milliseconds, with dark gaps lasting as long as 3 hours. Not only are these outbursts short-lived, in order to detect RRATs, astronomers must distinguish the fleeting radio flashes from terrestrial interference. Even so, there could be hundreds of thousands of them in the Milky Way. So again, to me, I can sit and read this stuff for hours. This is thrilling. I guess if you're not into astronomy, maybe it's not so thrilling, but to me, it's quite amazing. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to keep going for after the break. I'm going to talk about some stellar mysteries. And of course, how can you not be impressed with something that gives up so much energy in a few seconds, or things that we cannot even fathom? We cannot fathom these amounts, these quantities, the magnitudes of all these things. So now when I come back, I'm going to talk more about my favorite topic, which is astronomy. So again, I could sit there for 20 hours and talk astronomy. And so if you're with me, we're going to talk more astronomy. I'm going to go for a break, play a few tunes, play an ad. And when we come back, we're going to have more fun talking astronomy. This is Marco. You're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
That's it. Pack it up.
You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco on CITR 101.9.
You've stated that you believe there could be an infinite number of parallel universes. Does that mean that there is a universe out there where I am smarter than you?
Yes, and also a universe where you're funny.
Okay, all right. Look, if you're so smart, what number am I thinking
13.
Of? 13. It was 13. I was thinking of 13. Okay, that was a lucky guess. What am I thinking right now?
That you've been a huge disappointment to your family.
I wasn't thinking that.
In front of Gucci in the winter, I seen you with your girl, sporting, in your chinchilla fur. I was laid up in the cool back shader, looking at your face just pure with no makeup. A little bit of MAC lip gloss, hair in a bun, well done. Looking for a ring, I seen none, so I hopped out the coupe and hot the suit to stop and introduce like I'm shining. You my destiny in your diamond cluster, too much just to touch you. Perfume down to your structure, think I wait till the...
This is Robin, the program manager at CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco, the best astronomy program on the planet.
Put it in your purse and call.
On the telephone, she heard my voice. Tell me to pick her up in my Rolls Royce. If my Rolls Royce is not the ladies, then girl, I'm gonna take you in my Mercedes. If my Mercedes would get full up of the disease, then girl, I'm gonna take you in my Firebird. If my Firebird cannot pay the curve, girl, put your ass on the dumb at your butt.
You're getting closer. My player days is over. Well, maybe not completely, but still in all. Come here, let's see a hug on my bed. And let me get between your legs, lay on your back, take it from the back, like a bag you're supposed to. I know you like that. Scream with the neighbors.
Hello, welcome back. You're on AstroTalk, or you're at CITR with Marco. We're talking astronomy, and we're talking about the top 10, which I miss so much from David Letterman's time. So top 10 star mysteries. And of course, stars are so amazing. I mean, something that's so big, our sun. I guess one astronomer I talked to said it fused, or they called this when the sun fuses 600 million tons of hydrogen every second. he said it's quiescent burning. Quiescent, where it's 600 million tons a second. Wow. So the sun loses weight every second. It gets smaller, or it gets lighter. But then it's expanding. It's kind of weird. You think if it's losing weight, it would get smaller, but it expands. So anyway, enough about that. We're going to talk about a singles club. What's a singles club? Well, it's one of the top 10 star mysteries. So another one is, here it is, singles club. So again, this is on livescience.com. It's the top 10 star mysteries from October 26, 2010. It took me this long to find it. Wow. Okay, here we go. Stars may not be loners, as once thought. Now astronomers predict that 85% of the stars in the Milky Way galaxy reside in multiple star systems. More than half of all stars are binary stars, or two stars that are bound by their mutual gravitational attraction, with each star orbiting around the center of mass. When three or more stars huddle together, it's called a multiple star system. In 2005, astronomers presented evidence for the first planet orbiting a binary star system. Wow, pretty cool. I'd hate to be that planet, because all of a sudden you could be ejected so easily. So let's talk about this, what it said. It says, binary stars are two or more stars that are bound by their mutual gravitational attraction, with each star orbiting around the center of mass of the system. So that's what happens, let's say, the moon and the Earth. The moon doesn't really orbit the Earth. It orbits the barycenter in between the moon and the Earth. So the center of mass of the Earth-Moon system is called the barycenter. It's in the center of the Earth, and the Earth also rotates around the barycenter. So the moon rotates around the barycenter of the Earth-Moon system. And I believe our sun, the center of our solar system, is not really the center of the sun. It's the barycenter, somewhere close to the center of the sun. So the sun actually rotates around the barycenter, and the other planets and everything rotates around this barycenter. So pretty cool. So when two stars or three stars, they have a center of mass and they rotate around that center of mass. They kind of rotate around each other, but more technically, they rotate around the center of mass. Okay, so let's look at one more star mystery. Enigmatic explosions. The catastrophic explosion of a star sends out shockwaves that radiate outward at 22 million miles per hour. So again, that's something that we can't get we can't fathom, because if we get in our car, we travel to Seattle, let's say 60, 70, 80 miles an hour at the most. We get in a plane, 600 miles an hour. But this explosion of a star is sending out shockwaves at 22 million miles per hour. So the sheer magnitudes of astronomy, the weights of things, the energy, the speeds, if you think about it, wow, it's kind of mind-blowing. The end of life for some stars can be a spectacular event called a supernova, when a star that's more than 8 times the mass of our sun burns out. Gravity's inward push tears apart the star's innards. The explosion propels jets of high-energy light and matter out into space. Since Johannes Kepler's supernova was spotted in 1604, astronomers haven't witnessed one in our own galaxy. So all astronomers know this, that I guess the average is for any galaxy, there's one supernova per century. So we've waited 4 centuries almost for, that's right, yeah, 4 centuries and no supernova. So when's it going to happen? We'll see. Okay, one more last star mystery. I lied to you. I said the last one is the last one, but this one is just too good to pass up. It's called Grim Reapers. So what's a Grim Reaper? It's a beautiful picture here. Again, this is on livescience.com, top 10 star mysteries by Gina Brinner, October 22nd, 2010. So I just got to know what is a Grim Reaper. So Grim Reapers are, okay, I'll read it. Black holes are so dense that nothing can escape from their gravitational clutches. Once past the event horizon, or the boundary beyond which even light cannot escape, there's no way out. Now astronomers have strong evidence for the existence of stellar black holes, which form from the collapse of massive stars, as well as supermassive black holes that can reach jaw-dropping weights of millions or billions of solar masses. So, what's a Grim Reaper? Why was this so exciting? We all know this stuff. Okay, it fooled me. I thought this last Grim Reaper was going to be exciting, and it wasn't. But now I saw another thing. We got to read this. Where do black holes lead? That's a good question. Where do black holes lead? So this is by David Crooks, dated September 20, 2019 on livescience.com or space.com, also livescience.com. And it's called Where Do Black Holes Lead? Space Mysteries. If you travel through a black hole, where do you go? Well, I don't think very far because you're squished to nothing. You're squished to the smallest point. So I'm going to read this article now. So there you are, about to leap into a black hole. Well, if you're about to leap into a black hole, you've already been stretched to infinite length and infinite thinness. So you're pretty well gone. But anyway, let's go with this. It says, there you are, about to leap into a black hole. What could possibly await should, against all odds, you somehow survive? Yeah, against all odds. Where will you end up, and what tantalizing tales would you be able to regale? Regale, that's a good word. So they had to use a fancy word that means the article's boring. Okay, regale. Okay, what would you be able to regale if you managed to clamber your way back? The simple answer to all these questions is, as Professor Richard Massey explains, who knows? See, I told you it's boring. As a Royal Society Research Fellow at the Institute for Computational Cosmology in Durham University, Massey is fully aware that the mysteries of black holes run deep. Here's what the professor says, and quote, falling through an event horizon is literally passing beyond the veil. Once somebody falls past it, nobody could ever send a message back, he said. They'd be ripped to pieces by the enormous gravity. True. So I doubt anybody falling through would get anywhere. Yes, they would be ripped apart and stretched to infinite lengths, and you'd be infinitely skinny, which some people might like. Okay, guess what I found? You'll never guess. It's a black hole quiz. So if you want to take a black hole quiz, here you go. Go to this article, Where Do Black Holes Lead? It's dated September 20, 2019, and a couple of paragraphs down, there's a black hole quiz. So if you think you know about black holes, you should take this quiz. Okay, back to the article. If that sounds like a disappointing and painful answer, then it is to be expected. Ever since Albert Einstein's general theory of relativity was considered to have predicted black holes by linking space-time with the action of gravity, it has been known that black holes result from the death of a massive star leaving behind a small, dense remnant. Okay, so when are they going to get to the answer? The uninhabitable black hole would have such a powerful gravitational pull that not even light could avoid it. So should you find yourself at the event horizon, there is no escape. Well, that's what I said. So when's this article going to get interesting? Aha, here. What about a wormhole? Over the years, scientists have looked into the possibility that black holes could be wormholes to other galaxies. That may even be, as some have suggested, a path to another universe. Such an idea has been floating around for a while. Einstein teamed up with Nathan Rosen to theorize bridges that connect two different points in space-time in 1935, but again, since fresh ground in 1980s, when physicist Kip Thorne, one of my heroes, one of the world-leading experts on the astrophysical implications of Einstein's general theory of relativity, raised a discussion about whether objects could physically travel through them. So remember, Kip Thorne was here, and I got him to sign my book, which I was so excited. So says Massey again, and quote, regarding Kip Thorne's popular book about wormholes is what first got me excited about physics as a child, but it doesn't seem likely that wormholes exist. Okay, so let's go back to the title of this article. Where do black holes lead? Nowhere, because they're not saying anything. Indeed, Thorne, who lent his expert advice to the production team for the Hollywood movie Interstellar, wrote, and quote, we see no objects in our universe that could become wormholes as they age. The science of the interstellar, Thorne told space.com, that journey through these theoretical tunnels would most likely remain science fiction. There is no certainly firm evidence that a black hole could allow for such passage. Now, there's something I just cannot pass up. Here is related, is the strangest black holes in the universe. But again, as this title said, where do black holes lead? Where does this article lead? Okay, so says Douglas Finkbeiner, a professor of astronomy at Harvard, I think the standard story is that they lead to the end of time. An observer far away will not see their astronaut friend fall into the black hole. They'll just get redder and fainter as they approach the next event horizon as the event of gravitational range shift, but the friend falls right into a place beyond forever, whatever that means, end quote. Okay, I guess so he's talking about if we're watching somebody fall through the black hole, let's say they survive, I think what happens is they sense no time dilation, everything, their clock is working as they think it works. But if we see them fall through as they approach the black hole, from our perspective, we see their clock slowing down, until just as they cross into the black hole or into the event horizon, their clock totally slows. So it takes them forever to cross that event horizon. So this article is leading to me to where? Okay, there's one thing. Maybe a black hole leads to a white hole. Certainly, if black holes lead to another part of the galaxy or another universe, there would need to be something opposite to them on the other side. Could this be a white hole? A theory put forward by Russian cosmologist Igor Novikov in 1964. Novikov proposed that a black hole links to a white hole that exists in the past. Unlike a black hole, a white hole will allow light and matter to leave, but light and matter will not be able to enter. Okay. So let's leave this article because it's just doublespeak. It's speaking, well, how do we... It got me excited because I thought the title was good. Where do black holes lead? Eventually, no one knows. Apparently, no one knows. And the last paragraph says a black hole of uncertainty. So no one knows. Maybe black holes go nowhere. Maybe they're white. Maybe they lead to a white hole. But anyway, let's leave this because this article kind of fooled me. I thought it was going to be pretty exciting. Guess what? It wasn't exciting. Okay, so I'm going to go for a break now. When we come back, we're going to talk about relative stuff, like relevant stuff, like where do black holes leave and stuff like that. Okay, so I am going to play a song now. And when I come back, as I said, I'm saying it again because this black hole stuff has got me mixed up. We're going to do some more astronomy. This is Marco. You're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.
She said that she got tips on you, and she be hanging with the crew.
She talking shit, yeah, I see her in the dance with the gang, but she was just another girl in the room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not, I got my eyes on you, so you could've never take me for fool.
You see right now, with me feel like a dancing a fool. She want me, she won't ever tell the truth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pull up in that automobile with black wheels. Red on my feet like somebody blood spill. My swag dangerous, my swag kills. They can't hang with us, they ain't real. Me, I'm the ting with them one. Get them girl dead out, dash them in a casket.
Welcome back, this is Marco, and you're listening to Stefano Don again with Abracadabra. After talking, see I care about 1.9.
Papa, I feel live on the ill with the finest. Hunter, me know them not like this.
The MBS, me and you all go. The MBS, me and you all go. The MBS, me and you all go. The MBS, me and you all go.
Pinoy Pride Vancouver Society presents Liberacion, the first LGBTQ Philippine X Pride Art Celebration, on Saturday, June 16th at XY Lounge, featuring performances by Kimmortal, Naomi King, Romeo Reyes, Well, Jade Soul, and Mevian Hauser, and works by Politique, Mildred Grace German, Clar Pond, Jose Luis Reyes, Cesarina Bravo Tabopo, and These Bodies Between Us. Check out Pinoy Pride on Facebook for more information.
Are you feeling a bit crazy, or is your vision getting a little bit hazy? Or if you're feeling a bit funny, get your friends and listen to CITR 101.9 on AstroTalk with Marco at UBC. Depend on Marco for the latest in astronomy news at CITR's AstroTalk. Get a lot smarter now by listening to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band, swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Well, I definitely am a bit disappointed. I was so looking forward to making a balloon poodle. Now, I found that club doesn't exist. And the ant club doesn't exist either. So kind of disappointed right now. I thought those were two real clubs, and I was going to make a balloon poodle. So now, what am I going to do? Well, maybe I'll talk more astronomy. So there's one more thing I wanted to talk about black holes before we leave these monsters, because actually the last article was so disappointing. It posed the question and said, where do black holes lead? And at the end they say, well, we don't know. They said a bunch of gobbledygook that everybody knows. But anyway, so now we're going to talk just one more thing. The strangest black holes in the universe. There's a big list. There's the biggest black holes, the smallest black hole, cannibalistic black holes. We know black holes are cannibals, a bullet shooting black hole. But what I wanted to get was the oldest known black hole. Okay, so the oldest black hole found yet, officially known as ULAS J1120 plus 0641, was born about 770 million years ago. So when it was born, it was a baby black hole, so I wonder how big it was. Because it's just a little baby, right? It probably went wah, wah. So it was born 770 million years after the Big Bang. And at that time, it was a baby, but now it's a big black hole. Scientists think the Big Bang occurred about 13.7 billion years ago. So this black hole was born about 13 billion years ago. Wah, wah. It was a baby. The ancient age of this black hole actually poses some problems for astronomers. This brilliant enigma appears to be 2 billion times the mass of the Sun. How black holes became so massive so soon after the Big Bang is difficult to explain. Yes, it is. And what I recall when I looked into black holes is there's a lot of stellar mass black holes, and you can call a 40 or 50 mass stellar mass black hole a stellar mass black hole. So there's some 8 stellar mass black holes, 10, 20, 30, whatever. So that's known as a stellar mass black hole. Then there's the huge, gigantic, major megatronic black holes that are millions or billion times the mass of the Sun. But apparently there's no intermediate-sized black holes. So how a black hole gets so big, billions and millions of time, I don't know if there is, like in a lot of things about astronomy, if there is a good explanation. Okay, so now I'm going to go to another article. I'm going to go to that page, which fooled me. It said, where do black holes lead? And just above it, there's a thing called, do you have royal blood? Your last name may tell you, so you should look into that. If you want to know if you have royal blood, then you've come to the wrong place. I'm just watching an animation where a black hole is ejecting something, ejecting a star. But you know what? I'm tired of black holes because I thought it says, star ejector from Milky Way's heart of darkness reaches mind-blowing speed. But there was nothing mind-blowing about what I read today. So I'm going to leave black holes. And how about this? How about this article? This is how light may have escaped from the earliest galaxies, turning the universe transparent. Okay, that's kind of interesting. It's by Yasmin Saplakoglu. She's a staff writer, and it appeared 3 hours ago. So let's read this. It's on Live Science. This is how light may have escaped from the earliest galaxies, turning the universe transparent. So here's an image, and it says, Hubble recently captured 12 mirror images of the distant gravitationally lensed sunburst arc. The galaxy can be seen here in this kaleidoscope image distributed across four arcs, the elongated lines. Okay, so let's read about this. So again, it's called, the title is, this is how light may have escaped from the earliest galaxies and turning the universe transparent. So I don't know light. I didn't know that light had to escape from the earliest galaxies. But here we go. At nearly the beginning of time, the universe was shrouded in darkness. Then early galaxies produced bright, hot stars that leaked brilliant light intergalactic space through small into intergalactic space. It didn't say into, but I had to put it in. That leaked brilliant light into intergalactic space through small channels, turning the universe transparent. That's the conclusion from gorgeous new mirror images taken of a distant galaxy known as the sunburst arc. So it's a gorgeous image, and that's what I read, that they new, what's it called, James Webb Space Telescope, it's going to do some amazing science, like look at a lot of things that Hubble can't do, but it's not going to give the brilliant, beautiful pictures. So let's thank you, Hubble. You have given us a lot of beautiful pictures. Once the universe cooled enough, protons and electrons combined to form neutral hydrogen, which covered the universe in darkness. I don't know why it did, but they say it did, making it unobservable in the electromagnetic spectrum, according to MIT's Haystack Observatory. During this period, known as the Dark Ages, any radiation emitted was absorbed by the hydrogen gas. Okay, I didn't know that. Then a billion or so years after the Big Bang, during the epoch of reionization, a massive jolt of energy ionized the gas. Where did that energy come from? Anyway, knocking electrons off the hydrogen atoms and creating plasma. This ionization happened thanks to energetic ultraviolet light that most likely came from very young, very bright, very hot, and also very short-lived stars in the first galaxies, said lead author Thogur Emil Rivera Thornsen, a postdoctoral fellow at the University of Oslo in Norway. But it's unclear how exactly this ionization event happened. I'm still quite amazed at how these astronomers can fathom this kind of knowledge. How could they figure it out? It's quite mind-blowing. Oh, here it is. To figure it out, here it is. See? So I preempted the question. To figure it out, the researchers turned to a galaxy called the Sunburst Arc that sits around 11 billion light years away, though it's difficult to know exactly how far it is in an expanding universe. The Sunburst Arc isn't quite old enough to be one of the earliest galaxies that reionized the universe, but it is old enough to be able to teach the researchers something about the process, Rivera Thornsen said. In a previous study, Rivera Thornsen and his team looked at light signals coming from the Sunburst Arc. A few hints suggested that ionizing light escaped from these early galaxies through a few narrow channels or holes in an otherwise opaque shroud covering the galaxy. And so says Rivera Thornton, end quote, but we cannot say that we have found this until we have actually observed it directly, end quote. Okay, so a lot of money is being spent on these projects. I hope we get some results from them. So the researchers proposed to detect these holes using Hubble, and lo and behold, it worked. The sunburst arc is positioned in a way that makes it easy for Hubble to see. An intervening cluster of galaxies acts like a cosmic microscope and bends and magnifies light from the sunburst arc, which would otherwise be too faint to see, so that Hubble can pick it up in a series of images. This effect, called gravitational lensing, was predicted by Einstein's theory of general relativity and is particularly strong in this case, leading to 12 duplicate images of the galaxy. Okay, so they got images of how light escaped in the early universe. I didn't know that the early universe wasn't transparent. There's so many steps or processes after the Big Bang. So, for example, there was a book I read quite a few years ago. I don't even remember anything about the book. What happened in the first 3 seconds after the Big Bang? What happens in the first 0.3 seconds after the Big Bang? What happens in the 0.00003 seconds after the Big Bang? What happened in the 1/3 billionth second after the Big Bang? So all these things were supposed to be so important, and it led us to what we have today. So this is one of the things that we're here now because this thing happened. Oh, so now we know that the early universe was transparent. So they said the evidence for its escaping ionization radiation is compelling. The findings are important for understanding how light leaks through from star-forming galaxies, and their interpretation that the light leaks through holes in the galaxies looks reasonable. Okay, so now we know something about light in the early universe. So if you think of it, a lot of these things astronomers can see. That's just 5% of what we see is what we study. We don't know what the other 95%, the dark matter, the dark energy. Imagine how much we don't know. What are these findings going to give us? So in the 1900s, early 1900s, there was a lot of experimental work and a lot of findings on the quantum theory. And this is what I read anyway. It gave us the miniature electronics that we have today. So what will the gravitational waves give us one day? What will this stuff give us one day? We don't know. But I think the future is quite exciting because they keep coming up with so many wonderful things, and then inventions keep coming up. So anyway, thank you for listening. We talked today, or I talked, a lot about black holes. And you know what? It was kind of like, bleh. It was very black because nothing exciting came out. Like, it says, where does a black hole lead? And guess what? It says, we don't know. And other stuff about black holes. So anyway, thank you for listening. I'm leaving now, and then you can think about black holes while I'm gone. This is Marco. Thank you for listening. You have listened to Astro Talk on CITR.